Here to talk us through the ANU hack and share a few tips about our own cyber safety, we have Professor Matt Warren, Deputy Director of Deakin University Centre for Cybersecurity Research and Innovation. Hey Matt, welcome to the show.
Good morning, how are you?
Thank you so much for joining us on this Monday. I hope you're having a day off despite this.
Oh no, in Victoria we don't have a public holiday today.
I didn't realise that. Are you sure?
Yeah.
Are you sure? Most people I talk to today are not getting a public holiday. So yeah, we're both working. So there was ANU's released a report. So can you explain to me what happened? It was about a year ago, wasn't it now?
Yes. So what it was a spear phishing attack. So what happens with a spear phishing attack is you get sent an email and the idea is, you know, that you click on the link. So what they would do is people pretend, hi, it's Dave, we met at a conference, you know, here's some pictures of the conference, click on the link to see the pictures. You click on the link, you may see some pictures, but you then download malware into your machine, mm-hmm. which then infects the machine. So this is how the infection occurred. But what happens is there's different types of spear phishing. There's something called whale phishing, which is you pick at the executive of a university. So if they click on that link, then when your machine's infected, it's infected, you know, with a lot more access rights and information. And it seemed to be this one email infected the computer of someone who had, you know, a higher position at the university. They had a higher access rates. So it means that their computer and the system was infected, you know, more quickly.
Yes. Okay. So, yes, I love the spear phishing and whale phishing. So why are they called this?
So again, it's really like, you know, when people go fishing, it's just a term.
Cause yeah,
it's
of course.
Luck.
Yeah.
It's just like luck. Yeah. It's just luck that someone clicks on the link. But what happens with these spear phishing attacks is a lot of people do a lot of research. You know, they research people's social media, their LinkedIn accounts, and they craft a message that ties in with what people are doing online. The spear phishing are more like generic, you know, emails. You know, you send out thousands. The whale phishing are a more focused attack, you know, implying that you know a lot more about the person than in click, and that increases the chances of people clicking the link, you know, and infecting your computer and the organization's system.
Because that's so, and that's a lot of research. I suspect that takes a lot of time to find out that information as well.
Yeah.
Or are we just so readily available now with all our information?
Well, again, both. It does take time, but people share so much information about themselves on social media and also on LinkedIn. LinkedIn's a very popular mm-hmm. source of information for these types of, you know, attacks as well, because a lot of people share on LinkedIn, you know, about conferences they've been to or events that they're involved with. So it's very easy to, you know, develop a profile about individuals.
Is it getting more sophisticated, the emails they're putting out? Because, I mean, there's this old spam sort of emails that you're kind of pretty aware of, you know, click here for bigger things than that.
Yeah.
Are they getting more sophisticated now in how they're drawing people in?
Yes. So again, what they've learned is you know, the attackers learn that they learn, you know, that, you know, when they send emails, you know, that they have to look professional. There doesn't have to be spelling mistakes. It has to look mm-hmm. as close as it can, you know, to an organization's, you know, emails, accounts, you know, with logos and terminology, if they were pretending to be from the bank or the Australian tax
yes.
office. So certainly those sorts of attacks are becoming much more sophisticated.
Mate, what are some key things? So something I notice, I often get the Apple one come through, but I notice the email is not a legitimate email. Is there any other ways to sort of, you can tell that they are, other than obviously if they've made spelling mistakes like that?
No, again, in terms of the Apple one, it's to do with percentages. You know, the assumption is that 30-40% of users in Australia would be, you know, use Apple, use iCloud. So that's why, you know, the Apple attack is such, you know, a successful one. Again, it's, you know, checking on, it may say it's from Apple, but when you click on it, you know, check the reply email address mm-hmm. if it's not Apple. It certainly, you know, just be aware that Apple won't email you to say, you know, check your email here or, you know, reply with your email. It is just to be very aware. The other thing with Apple is actually to engage, you know, the two-factor authentication. So Apple has a system, you know, where you can authenticate yourself, you know, whether, you know, you have to authenticate yourself by clicking on another trusted device.
Yeah.
Google have one where you have to send a code back. Yeah. So certainly using, you know, two-factor authentication, you know, deals with a lot of these problems. But a lot of it is simply just being aware. The issue is that we simply get that many, you know, emails per day that is sometimes, you know, it just takes some moments of lapsed concentration to click on a link, you know, as we saw with ANU, and, you know, the entire organization's infected and, you know, vast amounts of information is stolen.
Yeah, sure. And so the ANU hack, it took place over 2 months. Why did it take so long to kick the hackers out of their system?
Part of the problem is, you know, is once they've got access to the system, they have access to many different user accounts. So you may close one account, but they still have access to another account. The other problem is that organizations, you know, have very complex systems, but they may not have situational awareness in real time of what's happening on their system. So this is why, you know, universities are now moving to something called SOCs, which is security operations centers, to actually monitor what's going on in their systems in real time, the same as banks. Mm-hmm. And the other problem is if you haven't got like network segmentation, so you break your network into a number of mini networks, you kick them out of one part of the network, but they'll still be there in another part of the network. But if you have network segmentation and they're in one mini part of the network, they've only got that access. So when you kick them out of that little part of your network, they're out of the system altogether.
They sound like termites.
Yes.
can't get rid of them.
Yeah. So again, a lot of it to do with design of systems, the architecture that's used. And part of the problem is when people create systems, they don't actually, from day one, think of, well, what's the security considerations? Yeah. How can we design the system to be the most secure? It's all about, you know, the business drivers and the business requirements. And security is always an afterthought.
So what kind of information are hackers trying to get from us? And what was the kind of point of hacking into the ANU system?
Well, in terms of the ANU, they have a number of establishments there, including, you know, the ANU Security College.
Mm-hmm.
So the sorts of information that they would be after is details of, you know, students who are enrolled at ANU in their institutions. Also information about staff, their physical passport numbers. So again, it's really just collecting information that could be used at a later date. So that information may be used, you know, for identity theft. It may be used to monitor people, you know, on an ongoing basis, especially, you know, if they supply their personal emails. You know, the attackers may then try to send phishing attacks to their personal emails to try, you know, to infect someone's home computer. So again, there's a whole number of ways that that information can be used. Or even on the dark net, simply stealing the data and selling it as data becomes a commodity. So you capture that data, you then sell it on the dark net, and then someone else would pay to get that data for their own, you know, criminal intentions.
So is there any sort of easy precautions or some pretty standard things that we can do to stay cyber safe?
Well, again, the problem people always have is when it's not an attack against yourself, it's an attack against the organization. So when an organization system fails, it impacts you as a user. But in terms of what you can do personally, you know, you can, I sort of mentioned, you know, two-factor authentication, making sure, you know, you don't use the same password for every account.
I knew you were going to say that. I hate that one. That's my least. But it's true, but it's so hard to remember all the passwords.
or even things like passphrases. So instead of remembering passwords, you remember a phrase like Richmond is the best footy team in the world. And you just remember a phrase like that, which, you know, someone else has left.
I'm sorry, you're breaking up there. I'm kidding. But yeah, so sorry, I did cut off either the passwords or phrases. Do you recommend, obviously, security software as well? Is that helpful?
Yes, and certainly there's a number of password management systems that you can install that sort of, can generate your passwords and store them. Apple, for instance, you know, when you create an account on Apple using Safari, it auto-generates a very complex password for you. So if you've got a password management system, that would be remembered. So there are many things that you can do. The only problem is it takes, you know, a lot of time and effort, and the problem is people get into habits. Because people want to use systems and technologies quickly as they can, they don't want to spend, you know, other time, typing in passwords or waiting for codes.
But once they're in, it is so hard to get them out. And it's also the ongoing effects of any like security of identity fraud is ongoing. Yeah,
especially the terms of identity fraud is you know. Once someone's, you know, got control of your identity and using it for bank accounts and bank loans, it's very hard.
It is hard. It's a constant proving who you are.
Yes.
I am who I say I am. Matt, thank you so much for joining us today. I hope it's not too busy a day for you down in Victoria. Thank you again.
My absolute pleasure. Have a great day.
You too. Thank you.